You're listening to the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Good afternoon, radio listeners. Welcome from the Encouragers, Reverend Barbara Coleman and Minister David Michael. We are on the air every Saturday at 3 p.m., bringing words of encouragement from the Holy Bible for everyday life. Please continue to listen in and be blessed. Our Father, who art in heaven, all-powerful, omnipotent, everywhere at the same time, omnipresent, all-knowledgeable, omniscient. Please forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. I thank you for this opportunity to preach your word from the Holy Bible. May what I say be helpful to someone and pleasing to you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. My topic for today is love according to the Bible. I will do a series on love according to the Bible. My text is 1 John 4 and 8, which states, "He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love." It is clear from even a rapid reading that the Bible stresses the importance of love. It is not ironic that the greatest commandment is all about love. Matthew 22, 37 through 40 states, "Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Loving God first means you seek him and his kingdom and his agenda above your own. Matthew 6:33 states, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." On these two commands to love, it is the entire message of the Bible that this hangs on. Christ's followers are commanded to love one another. Jesus said that loving one another is not an option for the believer. It is a commandment. Jesus gave us all a new commandment, and this was given in John 13, chapter 34 through 35, which states, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." We are commanded to love others as Jesus loves us. This is a very tall order, and one that we can do in our own human strength. Jesus said that if we have this love for one another, all people, lost and saved, will know that we are his disciples. If others do not see us love like this, then they will not believe we are Christ's. John understood this when he wrote in 1 John 2, 10 through 11, which states, "He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes." Love is a sign that we are Christians. 1 John 5, 1 and 2 states, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments." Love for Jesus inspires obedience to him. In John 14, chapter 15, verse, Jesus said to his disciples, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." This means that those who love Jesus will want to please him. We shall want to please God, not as a means of trying to earn our salvation, but out of gratitude for what he has done in forgiving our sins. The Bible speaks of different types of love. It appears that in New Testament times, there was at least four different Greek words that we translate as the English word love. This variety actually helps us in the work of translation because each of the four Greek words carries a slightly different definition from the other three. This makes it a little clearer as to what the original means. These words were eros, storge, philia, and agape. Eros love is the physical, sensual intimacy between a husband and wife. It expresses sexual romantic attraction. Eros is also the name of the mythological Greek god of love. Excuse me. Sexual desire, physical attraction, and physical love. Although eros does not appear in the New Testament, this Greek term for erotic love is portrayed in the Old Testament book, the Song of Solomon. God is very clear in his word that eros love is reserved for marriage. Sex outside of marriage is forbidden. God created humans, male and female, and instituted marriage in the Garden of Eden. Within marriage, sex is used for emotional and spiritual bonding and reproduction. The Apostle Paul noted that it is wise for people to marry to fulfill their godly desire for this type of love. 1 Corinthians 7, 8, and 9 states, I say, therefore, to the married and widows, it is good for them if they abide even as I. But if they cannot contain, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn. Within the boundary of marriage, eros love is to be celebrated. Hebrews 13:4 states, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. 1 Corinthians 7:5 states, deprive ye not one the other, except it be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. God's love is part of God's design. Eros love is part of God's design, a gift of his goodness for procreation and enjoyment. Sex as God intended it is a source of delight and a beautiful blessing to be shared between a married couple. Storge is a Greek word that is used in Christianity to mean family love, the bond among mothers, fathers, sons, daughters, sisters, and brothers. This is the type of family love that is commonly found in the Bible and is vital to the proper function of families and can sometimes be found in extended families. Many examples of family love are found in the scripture, such as the love and mutual protection among Noah and his wife, their sons, and daughters-in-law. In Genesis, the law of Jacob for his sons, the love that Abraham had for his son Isaac, the strong love the sisters Martha and Mary in the Gospels had for their brother Lazarus, and that same kind of love that any father and mother has for their children, as well as the children's love for their parents. The family was a vital part of ancient Jewish culture. In the New Testament, found in Exodus 20:12, God charges his people to honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Storge love can also occur between a husband and a wife. Storge is a Greek word for family love and frequently used for natural affection. Keeping the skin on your salmon fillet not only cuts down on meal prep time, it may even be healthier than ditching the skin. Eating the skin of your salmon may enhance the nutritional benefits of the fish dish, registered dietitians say. Some listeners may not have given their lives to Christ, but want to do so. John 3:16 states, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you believe and are willing to follow Christ, then join a church that is based on the Holy Bible. Now, a breath of fresh air with Minister David Michael.
Good day and welcome to A Breath of Fresh Air with the Encourager, Minister David Michael. Today's topic is handling strongholds. All of us have strongholds in our lives. The Apostle Paul used the term to describe a mindset or attitude. Here's what Paul had to say about strongholds in 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, verses 4 and 5. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, we have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. In other words, a stronghold is a conviction, outlook, or belief that attempts to interfere with truth. Does a stronghold have a stronghold on you? Have you ever felt like God could never forgive me? The stronghold of guilt. I could never forgive that person. The stronghold of resentment. I don't deserve to be loved. The stronghold of rejection. I'll never recover. The stronghold of defeat. I must be good or God will reject me. The stronghold of performance. My value equals my possessions. The stronghold of materialism. But we don't have to live in the shadow of these strongholds. Our weapons are from God and have divine power to demolish strongholds. Isn't that what we want? We long to see our strongholds demolished, and this happens by putting God first and dressing appropriately with God's spiritual armor, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Remember, all have violated God's divine law and fall short of his glory. But the good news is that God loved you so much that he gave his only begotten son, Jesus, who died, was buried, and arose, so that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So for the unsaved, it's the right time for you to believe the good news, repent, and accept Christ by faith as your Lord and Savior. For the saved, it's the right time for you to continue to pray, trust and obey his word, and take purposeful action for his glory. Life is full of uncertainties, but you'll find that God's grace is sufficient, and trust in him is never misplaced. Stay encouraged, my friends, and keep looking up. Shalom.
You have been listening to Reverend Barbara Coleman and Minister David Michael, the Encouragers, bringing you words of encouragement from the Holy Bible. We hope that we have said something that was encouraging to you as you continue on your life's journey. Thank you for listening.